This is Digital Story Podcast number 878, January 17th, 2023. Today's theme is the uncomfortable reality of AI-generated images. I'm Derek Story. In many ways, artificial intelligence is a friend to photographers. This technology makes our cameras smarter and our software easier to use. But there's also an uncomfortable side that creates computer-generated images based on text input. I'll explore some of those issues in today's TDS Photography Podcast. I hope you enjoy the show. So last week I talked about the popularity of analog photography. In many ways, one of the aspects of this resurgence could be, you know, a response to the relentless march of digital imaging and its attack, that's a strong word, that's a charged word, isn't it, on handcrafted images. All right, now, I'm a little bit neutral on that part of it because I am not anti-AI at all. And I do see the beauty of analog photography. So I'm just sort of in the middle of that mix. One surging aspect of digital technology is the AI-generated image. And there's a lot of software out there right now that does this work. Stable Diffusion, JasperArt, Starry AI, Dream, DALL-E 2. You know, and they work by entering a text prompt or prompts into text-to-image generators, and those produce visuals based on those prompts. So, you know, you can enter something such as scary wolf, right? Something like that. And you will get probably multiple choices of an AI-generated scary wolf. And some of them will be very illustrative looking. This depends a lot on the software, of course. And then some of them could be sort of photorealistic or close to photorealistic. So this has a lot of people concerned. It has me concerned too, but maybe for different reasons than you would initially think. And I'm going to get into those reasons here in a little bit, but let's keep talking about how this all works. So the output, it ranges from kind of surrealistic illustrations to hyper-realistic photos. And I especially seen the hyper-realistic stuff with landscapes that just look like some super wonderful, beautiful place that you would love to be right now that doesn't exist at all. It's nowhere land, right? But you want to be there, at least if you didn't know that it was nowhere land, you'd probably want to be there at that moment with your camera taking those pictures. Much of the artwork I look at, it feels like stuff that you'd see in a really good video game. However, there's a lot of concern, or some concern anyway, in the photography community about AI-generated artwork. The first thing that comes to mind for a lot of people, especially those working in the field of photography, is that, is this going to replace us, right? Is this going to make us obsolete? And I understand that concern, but I really believe that for many photographers, the short answer is no. Now, there's an asterisk on that no, for sure. But generally speaking, I don't think AI-generated imagery is going to replace photography as we know it any more than photography replaced painting when photography came out. You know, we still have painters and we have photographers and things shift around a bit, but they're both around. They're different art forms, honestly, and AI-generated stuff is different than what you and I do with our camera. But I do think that AI-generated imagery will disrupt segments of the photography world. For example, I could see AI dominating stock photography, you know, at some point. Think about this. Let's say you're an art director, you have a need for an image, you enter text prompts into a generator that, you know, specify the kind of image that you need. Maybe it's in a web interface. And then very quickly, you're presented with a variety of options based on those words. I mean, that seems very plausible to me. And I could see stock photography, you know, has been disrupted so many times already. And I really feel like it will probably be, or we're underway of being disrupted again right now. Now, Getty has come out and said that they won't accept AI-generated images in their stock library. Other services are already cutting deals and are open to it. We're just going to see how this whole thing evolves. But honestly, I just feel like in that area, it's a matter of time. Now, when it comes to documentation, my belief is that photography is still going to rule the roost, right? Areas such as real estate photography, education, science, even portraits, still going to have to lean heavily on the tools that we use now because you're documenting something that's real for some purpose. For instance, it doesn't do any good to have an AI-generated house, right? Because unless you're going to sell it as an NFT or something, but if you're trying to sell a real house, then you're going to need real pictures of that house in order to sell it. So there are just certain areas where AI-generated imagery doesn't make any sense, and those areas are probably going to be safe from disruption, at least for the time being, until something else comes along that I can't even foresee right now. That being said, though, I think there are still some areas of concern for photographers. First of all, where do all those images come from that computers are using for machine learning? It's likely that copyrighted work is being scraped off the internet and is being used to fine-tune the algorithms that are constantly improving. And I think that is a concern. What about distinctive artistic styles? What if a style is learned from a specific photographer? And I mean learned by the computer, learned from a specific photographer, and then incorporated into the output, but without credit or compensation to its creator, and then generates images that have that style, that distinctive style there, even though the actual image wasn't taken by the photographer with that style, but the style is still present in the image. That feels complicated to me. That feels not quite right. So, you know, I did some research on this. I've got a couple things I want to read you here about this because I think they're interesting. I'll start out with an anecdote, and this is from the article, Why AI is a Threat to the Photography Industry. And it was on DIY Photography, and I have a link to the full article in the show notes, and it's a terrific article. It's definitely worth reading the whole thing. I want to read you just three paragraphs from it right now. Alex London has worked in costume and fashion design in New York City for the last 10 years. His work is intricate and detailed, and a large portion of his work is spent working with art directors and photographers on editorial shoots and brand campaigns. He shared with DIYP how he recently lost a job to AI. Alex was hired to create some concept work. After agreeing initially to his fee, the next thing that Alex knew was that the company had bypassed his creative ideas and fed a sample of his body of work into the AI. He says that he was shocked at the output that the machine managed to create. Quote, "It looked like something that I would have done," end quote, Alex says. Quote, "which was really surreal," he adds. "Not to put too fine a point on it," he says, "the whole thing feels like yet another way not to pay creatives a fair wage," end quote. There have also been stories in chats online about models being hired for a casting. When they arrived, they were shocked to be told that, in fact, their likeness was being scanned to be used as data for AI software to help the machines learn, as it were. And it's this slightly underhand hiding the truth that's getting people upset. It's one thing to lose work to a computer, But when a whole industry and its related industries crash because of it, we could be in for a world of hurt. So, you know, this is fascinating. Now, part about the models, they didn't cite a specific instance with a name attached to it. I'll put that in the category of that conceivably could be happening, although I don't have anything documented on it actually happening, but it's not too far of a stretch, right? On the second, though, about Alex London, you know, that's really interesting to me. So, you know, you submit your portfolio, you know, to get a job. They pay you some sort of retainer fee or something like that. But then they feed your whole portfolio into the AI machine. I mean, if indeed that's a verified account, that to me is interesting and disturbing all at the same time. I've got another one for you here. This is author Peter Dench, and he has an article on Amateur Photographer. It's titled The Human Cost of Artificial Intelligence in Photography, and I have a link to it in the show notes as well. Another really good article. Here's what he has to say. After less than an hour of my own exploration into image generation, I'm frustrated and bored. I can see the potential, but ethically, it's questionable. Software like Stable Diffusion scrapes copyrighted images from the web, taking aspects from other people's work and recombining them. It's not straight-up plagiarism, but it feels uncomfortable and certainly doesn't feel like photography. He cited someone earlier in the article, Meller, and that's who he's going to refer to here. Meller is on point. One of the interesting philosophical questions about it is that it takes away the eventfulness of photography. When we think about photography, you often think about it in terms of someone with a camera who was in some place at some time and they recorded something happening. Even if it's stillness, even if it's nothing, there's a kind of an event of a photograph, whereas what these do, and he's talking about AI-generated image, is that they have eventless photography. There was never a time when this was created other than someone like me, who has absolutely zero photographic skill, typing in text prompts and pumping out an image. So that's another, I think that's another point, this eventless photography, this what appears to be a picture of a place that doesn't actually exist. And, you know, what do you do with that? How do you cite it? What if it starts working into all sorts of different things? What if it's used to attract people to this place that doesn't exist and, you know, spending hundreds or thousands of dollars to do so? There's just stuff here that has to be sorted out. You know, I don't think that any of us who are content creators that we want to become, you know, unwitting contributors to our own professional demise. And what I mean by that is that by the work that we have online that is being fed into, you know, an AI machine that pumps out better and better images based in part, at least, on the stuff that we created. So I don't think any of us want that. As my dad used to say, you know, you don't want to be the kid that has to go get the switch that you get punished with, right? You don't want to be that kid. So, you know, while we work through these copyright challenges, I will say that there are many AI benefits to our imaging work. I truly enjoy taking pictures with my iPhone and my OM-1 mirrorless camera, both of which rely on computational photography. Using object recognition for search in Apple Photos feels like magic at times. And text recognition is truly useful for fast lookup and information retrieval. So there's many good things to AI technology, and there are these concerns. So if we can navigate the potential dark side to artificial intelligence in photography and continue to develop the positives, then we may just survive this latest technological disruption. All right, here's an interesting related story, and this is from petapixel.com. I have the link in the show notes. NVIDIA's live streaming software can digitally fake eye contact. NVIDIA Broadcast, the company's tool for live streaming and video conferencing, can now digitally alter a subject's eyes in real time to make it seem as though they are looking directly into the camera. One issue with shooting live streamed video at home for professional use, and it even crops into simple video calls, is that many people are uncomfortable staring directly into the camera instead of either on a script or at other people on the screen. While doing so makes the user comfortable, not doing so breaks engagement with audiences. To help solve this problem, NVIDIA has been developing a type of deep fake technology that can artificially adjust a subject's eyes to make them appear as though they are making contact with the camera. Called eye contact, it improves audience engagement with a subject by simulating eye contact. The new eye contact effect moves the eyes of the speaker to simulate eye contact with the camera, achieved by estimating and aligning gaze, NVIDIA explains. The eyes retain their natural color and blinks, and there's even a disconnect feature in case you look too far away to transition smoothly between simulated and real eyes. All right, so, you know, I'm not sure which category to put this in, you know, the pro category or the con category of AI in digital imaging. I don't know. I honestly don't know. So there it is. You know, these are the sort of things that's going on right now. I think I'm just going to let it sit right there and let you decide for yourself. Online printing workshop scheduled for March 8th, 2023. All right, so we talked about this last week. I talked to our Inner Circle members. They overwhelmingly said of all the topics I presented to them, this is what they'd like to see. And so I pulled the trigger. So starting on March 8th, and there'll be four classes, March 8th, 15th, 22nd, 29th. There's going to be two class options each day. Each class will be recorded and made available to participants. Plus, class members will have access to our growing online printing community at Derek's Story Online. So there's still going to be the online printing class in November at the end of the year. I'm hanging on to that one, but I'm shoehorning this one in March. You can go over there and reserve your spot. It's a workshop that'll help you tame your printer, enabling you to create beautiful prints and fine art greeting cards. We cover paper stocks, printer setups, project design, and even how to choose the best inkjet photo printer for you. There'll also be some printing assignments, class support to help you hone your skills, all sorts of good stuff here. And like I said, even when we're not in class, we have, you know, the online community made up of members from this workshop and also the members from the last workshop, you know, and that's what happens each time we do a workshop on a subject, you know, that is an ongoing subject, that community gets bigger and bigger and becomes more and more robust. And that community stays long after the workshop. So, yeah, for the month of March, you'll be in the workshop and we'll have the live presentations and all that good stuff. But then even once that's over, you still have access to the printing community on Derek's Story Online for follow-up stuff, for sharing, for questions, you know, all that good stuff. And I think that long tail is one of the things that makes these online workshops work so well. All right, so that's there right now. It's $145 for everything. And if you're an Inner Circle member, then you know you have a discount code to get 10% off that workshop. You just use the discount code at checkout and you will get your discount. Yes. Yay, Inner Circle members, right? All right, so online printing workshop scheduled for March 8th. If you want to be a part of this, I would not wait too long to sign up. We've already had registrations because our Inner Circle members get a notification ahead of the podcast. And so they get a couple days head start on everyone else. So some of the seats are filled, but we still have some of the seats open. Alrighty, looking forward to doing this one again. This workshop is a blast. DP Review's Reader's Choice Awards 2022 Product of the Year. All right, so this is where they put it out to the readers and say, okay, you know, what's the best product of 2022? And here's what they had to say. You ready? By the way, this link is in the show notes to the entire, you know, the runner-ups and all that stuff. And the winner of our 2022 Reader's Choice Product of the Year Award goes to the Fujifilm X-H2S with a 34.7% of the total vote. The X-H2S delivers the highest performance in an X-mount camera thanks to its 26-megapixel stacked sensor. Its much-improved AF system can track complex motion at high frame rates, and a larger buffer makes high-speed shooting very usable. It's also an impressive video tool. It can capture 4K 60p video, includes internal ProRes LT recording, and can capture 14-bit video up to 30p for slightly expanded dynamic range when using Fujifilm's new F-Log Gamma profile. There's even an optional cooling fan for dedicated video shooters. It's no surprise that DP Review readers chose the Fujifilm X-H2S as their product of the year. And as always, thanks to everyone who voted in our polls. We appreciate your participation and couldn't do any of this without you. So I think that's really cool. Fujifilm scores Reader's Choice of the Year product of the year. The runner-up was the Sony, and then I think there was a Nikon lens that was also, and that's all that stuff's in the link in the show notes. You can see the runner-up stuff too. Just wanted to give a hats off to Fujifilm for scoring the award with this camera. It does look like a beauty. I want to mention that Photos for macOS Ventura and iPhone Essential Training is out on LinkedIn Learning, subtitled that I just finished. And I ran a post on the Digital Story Sunday, I believe, talking about the new Straighten tool and how they reworked that whole tool in Photos for macOS Ventura and just how much nicer it is. And it wasn't something that received a lot of, you know, press or anything like that. But there it is. It was just hanging out there in the new version of Photos, which you get when you update the OS. And you can do horizontal alignment. You can do vertical alignment. They got rid of that weird little dial for straightening the horizon and just replaced it with a slider. Just kind of cleaned up the whole interface. And it's really cool. And so now if you're out and you shoot a building with your iPhone and you don't not able to get an elevated perspective on it, it's got a little bit of tilt, you can fix that or at least downplay it with these tools. And I show before and after examples. And these are like the little things that just keep happening in Photos. They just keep chipping away. They keep doing a lot of work under the hood. The object recognition for search is really evolving into something super nice. And so if you just want to know kind of what's going on with Photos with both the Monterey and the Ventura versions, they're both combined into this. I bring the iPhone into it as well. It's a nice training. If you have LinkedIn Learning already, I would definitely look at it. If you don't have it, I have a link in the show notes and you can check it out. I'll tell you, you know, this is one of those little sneaky things. There's not a lot of fanfare, but Photos keeps marching along and keeps getting better all the time. All right, let's take care of a little virtual camera club news. Let's start out with the Nimble Photographer newsletter that comes out every Thursday. You never know what you're going to get with that newsletter. You just know that it's going to be there on Thursday, right? I had a lot of fun with the last edition. The week before, I had talked about the value of a journal for photographers, because, you know, we have the ability to add images and text. And so our journals can become very rich and very wonderful. And I tell you, looking back on some of my older journals, I'm just so happy to have them for both good times and bad. And so on the last weeks, because of all this water in California, right? And a lot of people have been writing me, are you okay? Are you guys doing okay? Is your house okay? All that. And we are. We're doing fine. We knock on wood. We only have this week to go, and then we're going to get a dry out period, which I think everybody wants badly. So far, have made it okay. We don't have any damage at the house or any damage at the studio here. So what I have been doing is collecting rainwater to use during the summer when water rationing comes along. And so I basically did an expanded journal entry for the last newsletter showing my food grade 55 gallon drums and how I collected the water and how I get it in the drums and the spigot that I put on there to get it out and all that good stuff. It's just kind of fun, but it's also just walking the talk. You know, when I talk about stuff and I say I do it, I really do it. And I wanted to show an example of that. And at the same time, talk about, you know, these rains that are going on in California. So like I said, every week, you just don't know what you're going to get other than you know you're going to get it. There's a link to the newsletter in the show notes. It's free. If you like following what we talk about, our ongoing conversation, I think you'll really enjoy it. A big thanks to our Inner Circle members. These are the folks that support our community and our podcast month in and month out. Not only with the $54 a year they contribute, but also with their ideas. They're my sounding board, you know, to help me stay on the best path for the entire community. I really appreciate that. They get ahead notice of stuff, right? Like, you know, they find out when a new workshop's going to come out, you know, a few days before the podcast happens. They get discounts. There's all sorts of good stuff that comes along with it. If you're interested in becoming an Inner Circle member, and I highly recommend that you do so, there's a Patreon tile on all the pages of The Digital Story. Click on that, nose around, see what you think, and hopefully you'll join us in 2023. And a big thanks to our Inner Circle members. I was looking at the Apple Podcast app the other day and, you know, checking our listing, the Digital Story listing, which I do. I try to stay on top of, you know, making sure that the RSS feed is working, all that good stuff, you know, all the mechanics of doing a podcast. And I noticed that we hadn't had any new reviews for a while. If you use Apple Podcasts and you like the show, if you have a moment to do just a brief review so we can freshen those up a bit. When they start getting kind of old, you know, people go, oh, I wonder if the podcast's still going or are people still interested and all that. It's nice to have something from 2023 that says, yeah, people are still listening and people are still interested. And if you want to do something fun while you're in that app, search for in Apple Podcasts, use the search and search on photo. And most weeks, The Digital Story will be in the top 10, the top 12, something like that, which, you know, that feels good, right? That feels good that we have that popularity. But at any rate, let's let other folks know what you like about the show. And if you can help me out and freshen up some of those reviews, I'd really appreciate it. And finally, I'd like to give really big thanks to our friends at Red River Paper, longest running sponsor of The Digital Story. I'm going to tap them again to help us out with this March workshop that we have coming up. The information that they provide, you know, the expertise, just invaluable. They just, I mean, talk about being passionate and knowledgeable at the same time. That's Red River Paper. Their website is just chock full of information. And if you're interested in inkjet printing, you ought to just spend 20 minutes just nosing around, searching for stuff, look at some of the projects they have, check it out and see what's going on. I think you'll really be impressed. They also have a very good Facebook page at facebook.com/Red River Paper. Thank you so much, Red River, for sponsoring this show. And I'm looking forward to working with you guys again in March as well. Red River Paper, longest running sponsor of Digital Story. All right, that's going to do it for me this week. I hope you enjoyed the show. Working on some more great stuff for next week. Until then, be safe, be creative, keep taking pictures. See you next Tuesday.